Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the NBA.
Yeah, you ready? Let's do it.
Oh, I just wanted to keep listening to that song. Hello, everybody. I just want to hear that first bit. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. No. Still going. Beautiful. I love it. It's all right, Diddy. Just throw us some money and we can keep playing it forever.
Diddy, put a little extra cash there.
This one we're talking about is all NBA related. There's a lot of NBA news that's been going on. God, I think the first glaringly obvious was the Kevin Durant just drama slash abomination slash who the hell knows what happened.
Well, I guess it was a funny sort of situation. I was actually watching the game on ESPN, and it was just really weird. He didn't start the game. He wasn't there on the bench or anything like that in the first quarter. Then comes out, you know, it had sort of been reported that. That he was going through some contact tracing from what we're sort of, you know, led to believe and what I read in the story was he'd been seen in a car with a team employee on three separate occasions. So obviously this is leading up to the game against Toronto. And it had been found out that employee had tested positive for COVID-19. Now he was allowed to come back into the game. The positive test wasn't confirmed. It was one of those inconclusive tests. So they allowed him back into the game, which was a bit funny. Like if this had been, I don't know, if this had been a rookie or, you know, say even on the same team, say if it's Joe Harris or DeAndre Jordan, would they have let him back in the game?
No.
Absolutely. I can't believe that they would let somebody who's less of a star back into the game.
No.
Just purely because it's an inconclusive test. But because it's KD, then it's like, no, we need him out there. Get him out.
Well,
and then he gets pulled in the fourth quarter because it comes out that this employee has tested positive. And he's sitting in a car with this guy, maskless. So he's oblivious to what's going on over there.
Yeah, he's completely.
That's all it sounds like to me. It's. But I think it's a lot of them. But just more. Yeah, you know, he's beating along to the Kyrie Irving drum, and we've said that in previous pods this year. He's just beating along to the Kyrie drum. Kyrie is the Pied Piper there, and KD is just he's just shuffling along with it. He's oblivious.
Oh, I think it's also even if you keep reading on, but from what I read for all this drama, also I think he's buying into what Harden at least likes to say and all that because, yeah, he got pulled. It's weird. He just turned up late. He got pulled in the third quarter. I mean, he nearly had a triple-double in 19 minutes, which is astounding.
Or got close to a double-double. Like, well, after he's been pulled and he's sitting in the locker room, he tweets out, free me.
Free me. Because,
oh, for God's sakes. Like, well, what do you want? You're the one that's brought this on yourself.
The reason I brought up Harden because they didn't buy into the confusion or NBA's explanation of the abundance of caution, which basically released a statement explaining that while Durant had tested negative three times in the past 24 hours, someone he interacted with Friday afternoon had an inconclusive result, like you said. So it doesn't matter. That's exactly right.
At least a 14-day incubation period. So it could come out next week. It could even still come out next week that he tests positive. Then what do you do?
Yeah.
He's been in contact with that whole team.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think, I mean, look, they're all playing it, really, at the end of the day, they're all playing it as best they can, too. But to me, if, you know, he shouldn't have even been there in the first place, technically, and now he's been out for a few games.
Absolutely
so,
not.
Not that they, I guess.
Have been witnessed. Yeah, and it's and if it's not Kevin Durant, then he's just simply not playing. Like it's any of those I think three. It's as simple as that.
No, maybe not Kyrie, but definitely any of those three, you would say. So. Possibly, but it doesn't seem, at least at the moment, because he won't be back until the Lakers, but it hasn't really affected them at the moment. So, I mean, he has had a hamstring strain as well in that process.
No, yeah, he's missed the game. He missed the game today against Sacramento, and he's missing the game on the back-to-back tomorrow against Phoenix. And then he's back in a couple of days after that, you know, obviously against the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of those marquee matchups. Like I guess that's perfectly timed, I guess.
Yeah, it will be. Unfortunately, they'll be without one player. We may as well bring that up now. They should, by in all likelihood, be without. Anthony Davis. Looks like, and going on all reports, he's just re-aggravated his Achilles injury. He hasn't got an Achilles injury. He's just re-aggravated it. So it started out calf.
He had a little bit of calf tightness, and that generally sort of works its way down to your Achilles. So he come back a couple of games ago. Then obviously he played against Denver the other day, and then he sort of tried to have a bit of a drive on. I think it was on Jokic, and you see the sort of anguish on his face, and he grimaces and he takes he just looked out of sorts when he took the two free throws. He didn't really sort of want to raise his feet up. He just took them very flat footed. And I guess when you're 6'10", you don't really need to sort of push too much, you know, with your lower body to sort of push up into a free throw. But after he buries both free throws, and then he just stands there at the free throw line, and somebody else has to foul to get him out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very, I guess, sort of interesting situation. And what we just sort of discussed before we turned the microphones on was, you know, the credentials of LeBron James and his MVP season will be tested. Right. Granted, it's only 2 to 3 weeks. But yeah, if he can carry on and sort of elevate the Lakers and keep that train rolling, then that's sort of tightens up those credentials for the MVP this year. And granted, it's only 2 or 3 weeks, but you'd have to have a look at the schedule to see who they actually play in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And if they're playing some good teams, then absolutely.
Well, the interesting thing is once it sort of came out with the KD injury, all that sort of speculation. It looks like he'll be back just before going off time. He'll be back just before the All-Star game. Which we'll talk about in a second. I think he'll get picked in the All-Star game. Whether the Lakers want to send him there is going to be
I could only assume that he would be a star. I think he's one of the leading vote getters, is he not?
LeBron. Yes. AD, he's up there. He should be. I think he's a foregone conclusion, but it's whether the Lakers want to send him as well. But being that that's still about mid-March, end of March, that game.
He's fourth in the voting at the moment. So it's LeBron, Jokic, and Kawhi Leonard are the top three, and then Anthony Davis, Paul George, and Zion are 4, 5, and 6. Where did that come from? Andrew Wiggins. How the hell has Andrew Wiggins got more votes than Brandon Ingram? Give me a break.
There's about 10 games.
That's a funny one. Go.
I was just saying there's 10 games before. We'll definitely talk about All-Star voting because it's all over the shop. But, sort of. Some people are smart this year. There's about 10 games for the All-Star break. It's funny that the second he went down, and this is where I think you said this is on tying back to the whole LeBron thing, and if he has to be dominant, if they start looking into that cheapy forward window, because you know they have about a couple of million on that they could potentially use. I don't know what's out there. I haven't looked what's out there, but you know that 10 games is a bit of a stretch before they have most of them have our break. So I don't know. I mean. It's too reliant on two people. They're probably a little bit burnt out too. I mean, I'm not going to say the word, but that playoff series.
Absolutely. What did they have? Yeah. 71 days between the championship and mm-hmm. the start of the season. So it's going to be a factor come the end of the season. Absolutely.
Well, you can see it on the Heat already.
You can sort of see not so much how much it's affected the Heat at the moment, but you know the Heat are absolutely fueled by Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, for
sure. And they've started to look a little bit better now that he's back in the lineup. But you know they are behind the eight ball, so to speak, to try and get themselves back into contention and into you know even just to try and squeak into the playoffs. Like you know them being five games under 500, and like yeah, granted they're only a game out of the eight spot, the Heat.
Yeah.
So. That's I mean it's once again playing, like
hey?
the bottom half of the Eastern Conference is again either at 500 or under, so it's the same old story of previous seasons. You know the top 4 to 5 in the East are relatively strong, and it's sort of a bit of a grab for wins. In the bottom eight, and if they start that stupid play-in tournament right now, and it's funny too because like you go to it right now, Miami and the Hawks are tied on the same record.
Yeah.
So what happens then if they split the division series? They're in the same division. Then what do you do?
Yeah. Well, in what way? Do you mean in the home?
Well,
the home and away,
in the division, you play your opponent four times. Well, you play your opponent two at home and then two away. So that's how they do their division. So that's, I mean, what happens if they come out of it and the Hawks win two and the Heat win two? So you can't go on. Are they going to count back? I don't know. It's, I mean, it just
maybe creates, yeah just or yeah. I don't know. Good point. That's actually a really good point. Not sure. Yeah, they have to go on a count back. There'd have to be a rule in place, but that's a good point. Moving on, I guess, to the All-Star voting, they're just up to the – in the last 4 days, the second All-Star vote returns have come in. I mean, you're obvious – you know, we just mentioned a couple of the people anyway, but the obvious top vote getters, if we look at the front court and the guards, the front court on the West is LeBron James. And on the Eastern side, it's Kevin Durant. For the guards, I think it's pretty obvious. Well, at least for the West, Steph Curry is the leading vote getter. And finally,
he's more than a million and a half above Doncic. He's nearly double. Everyone's just loving him at the moment.
For obvious reasons. And finally, the Bradley Beal is the top vote getter for the guards in the Eastern Conference. I say finally because that guy should have been in there, even just from the coaches.
Oh, no, absolutely.
For ages.
And that's the funny thing about it too. Like you have a look at the guards in the East, and you know, and the voting that's there. Like you've got your top four guys that are over a million votes in Bradley Beal, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Jaylen Brown. So it looks like he might squeeze into his first All-Star game. And then you got guys like Zach LaVine. Like, well, how has Trae Young sort of all of a sudden fallen out of flavor with everyone? He was the flavor of the month last year, in All-Star voting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now he's down. Colin Sexton is okay. Granted, has got half the amount of votes as what Trae Young does. And then you got Derrick Rose, Russell Westbrook, and Fred VanVleet.
Yeah.
Like that's a different sort of a lot of lineups there for the for the guards in the East.
The West guards, I think, are pretty straightforward. Steph, Luka,
Dame. So much talent there. Good God.
Dame
Lillard. Except when he gets to number 10.
Yeah, well, as I say, the whole 1-9 is, and I can't believe Clay's an eighth vote getter, and he's not even going to play this year. But that's fantastic.
That's so good.
Steph, Luka, Dame, Donovan Mitchell, Jar, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Clay Thompson, CJ McCollum, and then... again, Alex Caruso. So, I think
he makes an All-Star game. If he makes an All-Star game, I quit.
He won't make an All-Star game. I think most of them are pretty straightforward. I mean, I don't know if you wanted to read, except for the Western Conference. You just mentioned him before. I think Andrew Wiggins is above Christian Wood and Brandon Ingram, like you just said. I think Christian Wood's been phenomenal. He's definitely way better than Andrew Wiggins, and honestly, probably way better than Zion. Zion's, you know, just one of those people you want to have at an All-Star game.
Oh, absolutely. I thought that's mean. I thought, you know, at number 10, you know, coming in with Carmelo Anthony, like still being relevant, I guess, with the fans. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is only the second lot of fan voting.
Yeah.
But, you know, him still being relevant with fans is good. And I guess in the Eastern Conference in the front court there, I guess the bottom guys there, you know, Jeremy Grant sort of pushing for his first All-Star game. Gordon Hayward sort of getting a bit of recognition, and
Julius,
you know, Sabonis and Julius Randle.
Julius Randle, he
absolutely has to be an All-Star this year. He has to be. The only problem is, who do you turf out of those top guys, unless there's an injury?
The top six, you know,
Kevin
even
Durant,
the top seven.
Giannis, Joel Embiid,
Tatum,
Jason Tatum, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo. Who do you turf out? Like, that's the problem.
Sabonis, yeah. It all comes down to obviously the coaches, and then obviously also the press. Well,
the coaches now will have, you know, will have the heaviest input in it.
Did you have your five that you picked from each of the West, East, and West?
Funnily enough, I do.
That's good, because I was hoping you did, because I do too.
We are well prepared for this today.
I've got it in front of me. I'm prepared enough, but
no, I picked four. It's very heavily biased on the Western Conference.
That's the whole point of voting.
Don't worry, I'm sure yours is too. Don't worry about that.
Of course, that's voting.
So front court for me is Zion, Brandon Ingram, and Nikola Jokic. and the two guards I picked were Stephen Curry and Donovan Mitchell.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. My front court was, again, probably heavily influenced like yours, but LeBron and AD. There's absolutely no way I could have left out Nikola Jokic. On the guards, the same thing. Steph Curry, I couldn't leave out. And I had Donovan Mitchell as well.
We're just going heavy team bias there.
except the top two of them. The rest of them were, you know.
No, it's mean, yeah.
Heavy, like,
yeah,
I was going to pick Caruso. I'm not picking Caruso. God, no.
Oh, my God.
I honestly, looking at that, it's purely on a fan vote, but Luka doesn't deserve to be there this year. Or if he does, he should be a bench player.
I mean,
he can influence.
Possibly not as a starter, but
he's a little bit fall from grace as of from last year.
I mean, he's putting up phenomenal numbers, but they're just not leading to wins.
Yeah, that's a difference. How about your Eastern Conference front and backcourt?
So I guess the Eastern Conference, it was probably a little bit more easier, I guess, on the Eastern Conference for me. Front court for me was Giannis, Joel Embiid, and Jason Tatum. And the guards, you know, like they said, you know, Bradley Beal was hard to be denied. And I've gone a little bit sort of previous team bias, and I think absolutely 100% Drew Holiday deserves to be in the All-Star consideration. But he won't get there, but I voted for him anyway.
I went for the front court, at least. It's pretty much exactly how that top three played out. KD's playing MVP level this year. He really is.
He's going to get his votes anyway.
So, and the same as Giannis and same as Joel Embiid. So that was my three for the front court. The back, I went purely because he should be there for nearly the last couple of years, and Bradley Beal in one. And you mentioned him before, and I think he is playing at least on the same level as Jason Tatum. I think Jaylen Brown deserves to be there this year. I picked Jaylen Brown. Yeah. That tandem between those two is going great guns. We'll talk about Boston later because we want to talk about Kemba Walker. But, I couldn't pass Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, look, he's a dual threat as well. You know, not only can he sort of light you up with the possibility of 30, 35 points in a game, but he's a lockdown defender as well. I think that's the appeal. Of Jaylen Brown, and they're sort of, you know, and Boston are sort of hurting a little bit too with the loss of Marcus Smart over the last week or so. So all of those guys that are on that team have really got to step up at the moment.
Well, what do you think, I guess sliding into some players, what do you, or even if we look at teams and then sort of blend it with players, but what do you, look, at the moment, the Boston Celtics, I believe, are 15-15, if I'm looking at it correctly.
I'm looking at 13-13.
No, they probably will be 15-15. No, 13-13, which is fourth, and that's fine. That's commendable, but that's still 500. And this is the East, granted.
Look, they haven't been playing very well as of late either.
That's right. They haven't at all. And
it's with a lot of teams, though. This year is the league of streaks. Like, teams will look amazing for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden they'll fall into a rut, and then they look horrendous for a week or so, except for, obviously, teams like the Jazz and the Lakers and a few of these top Western Conference teams who just keep powering on. But it's just what's happening in the league at the moment. I think a lot of guys are sort of having a little bit of no crowd fatigue. Like, where's their juice coming from? Where's their energy coming from? I think it's harder for the players nowadays to find that energy and find that reason why we're doing this. Like, okay, the fat bank balance, terrific. that would be one hell of a reason. If you're on a contending team, we're looking at the end game here, and we're looking at getting ourselves a ring and putting a banner in the rafters. But if you're sort of a mid-table, mediocre sort of team, say if you're Sacramento or Memphis or something like that, or Atlanta or something like that, like you've got to find different ways to get that juice flowing. And I think it's affecting a lot of players.
And like, you look at LeBron, he's even said it, like, they weren't even, just pick him out because he's the guy in the NBA. Like, he said they wouldn't even do the rings without being in front of fans, because that's what they do this for. The All-Star game, he's whinged about not that.
Oh, that's right. Obviously, your boy's not happy with that at all. He wants...
It makes sense.
I understand that, but it's only the 71 days between, games, ending last season and the games ending, starting this season. It's only affected two teams.
Yeah, well, that's right. But I think that's
being a little selfish. And Grant, then if you don't want to play, look, don't play.
I get that.
He wants to appease the fans, and that's what you. If you don't want to play, then don't play. Or whoever the coaches are going to be, just say, just play me 20 minutes.
The problem is, there's
going to be nobody in the stands. That's where it's going to be. They're having it in Atlanta. They can only have like 1,800, 2,000 fans.
That's how
they want to put a dunk contest and all that sort of stuff in there too. Like, where's your energy? Yeah. Like, where are you getting your energy from if you're going into the dunk contest or in the 3-point contest? Like, where's your juice coming from?
That's how I thought. That's how I thought until you said that. I could see that point as well. But that's how I thought. He took the All-Star game, LeBron, as, what are we doing this for? We're not doing it for each other
fans. Exactly what they're doing it for. They're doing it for money.
Money, yeah, that's right.
Granted, they'll get a lot of sponsorships in the arena, the dollars there, but it's the television audience.
Oh, 100%.
They don't put an All-Star game. That's worldwide. That's not just small fish. Well, not so much small fish, but looking extremely one dimensionally and saying it's just for fans in this country. It's worldwide.
Yeah, that's right. That's
worldwide,
exactly right.
Phenomenon. Everything to do with the All-Star game, or the three major parts. You know what I mean? Yeah, the All-Star game, the slam dunk comp, and the 3-point shootout. That's your mainstays of your All-Star weekend. So they're just trying. The NBA is trying to recoup money that they are rapidly hemorrhaging at the moment, and I see both sides of it.
It'd be interesting. It's clearly going to go ahead, obviously. It'd be interesting if...
It's absolutely going ahead.
It'd be interesting, like you just said, with the dunk contest. You would suspect all the what you would think. It depends how they work it. Imagine having all those NBA All-Stars on that sideline just going ballistic for the dunk contest, because that's the only way they're going to get
there.
That's the only way they're going to get their juice. Like you just said, that's the only way I can see you get the juice. Just, having someone like LeBron sitting, who never does, but imagine him sitting there just going ballistic for a dunk. I don't know. But
that's the thing too. But it's going to be about the amount of people that you bring in as well. Like obviously, the less amount of people that you bring into, I guess that sort of little all-star bubble, the better. But yeah, if they're just going to have specific guys coming in there for the dunk contest, for the three-point contest, then I guess there'll be protocols in place to sort of prevent, a little mini outbreak for, the possible 24 best players that are in the league at the moment.
So circling back to sort of Boston, we said they had a 13-13 record. Kemba Walker, I try to pinpoint what's actually going on with him, because this was a guy that last year was an automatic starter for the All-Star game, mentioning the All-Star game. He was an automatic starter. This year, I don't know. Sorry?
He's nowhere near it. He's nowhere near it.
He's a shell of his former self. That's how I see it. I think because he had that stem cell injection in his left knee last October. I don't know if that's playing a part, but maybe it is, because his numbers aren't great. And you could just tell because
he's 34% from the field.
Yeah, and they are. The 3 points aren't too bad for Boston. I think they're 34-35%. At 3 point, it's just like, I don't know. They just don't have, except for Jalen and Jason, I don't think they'd have that first one. I don't know. Marcus Smart probably isn't the third one, but he probably gives them that energy or that boost or that togetherness.
Smart, I think for a few seasons now has been the heart and soul of that team.
That's
He's the heartbeat of that team.
So what do you think is going on? I don't know if it's, it's Tristan Thompson, they don't even finish out games with him. They usually finish out with Thies. So I don't know. I don't know if it's Kemba or I just can't work out what's happening in Boston.
I guess it's just taking him a little bit longer to sort of come back from this injury than what I guess has previously been expected. And I guess that's, especially recently, that's sort of been accentuated with the loss of Marcus Smart, and I could only assume that Kemba would feel, I guess, a certain amount of responsibility on that team, as he's the highest paid guy on the roster by a long shot.
Yeah.
So he would be feeling, a lot of pressure. He'd be feeling a lot of pressure. Wearing that story jersey for that franchise. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that's a lot of pressure on him. I think, if it was roles reversed and he's coming back from this injury whilst playing in Charlotte, granted, the pressure will still be on him, and that would probably most likely be self-induced pressure. But this is a national, international brand in the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
So they get a lot of recognition and notoriety around the world for who they are and what they've done and how many banners are in the rafters there at the Garden. But I think that can weigh a lot on certain people, and he's just not coming back from this injury as well, I guess, not so much as expected, but it's just not happening for him. And like we said, it's a streaky league, and all of a sudden he could get back in. Do you know what I mean? Like, they just need to continue to have faith in him, play him the minutes that they want to play him, and he's going to have to be the one to sort of dictate terms in, am I healthy? Can I, still do my third, he's not even playing 30 odd minutes per game. So that needs to be raised a little bit. That's a little concerning, to sort of start off this season, that he's not playing as many minutes as maybe is what he should be. But I guess if fatigue is starting to come into it, then is he not in game shape? Then they just need to start pushing him a little bit more and sort of starting to get those minutes elevated a bit and just see how it comes through, I guess, for the rest of the season. But you know, even so, he's not even playing that well at home this year. Like, you know,
no,
home and road are ordinary.
His last game was his best game by far that I've seen. Got 25 points in 29 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. Against Washington.
No, against a terrible defense. Yeah, that's a good point. I agree. I think exactly what I was saying at the start. I think he is still struggling from that injury. I just don't know the makeup of Boston. I mean, if he comes better, it's okay. And then, yes, you've got Marcus Smart coming back. But you've got Tatum and you've got Jaylen Brown. Like, they're... You know, that's it. It's just there. It's the other backcourt.
They've got not a lot of quality depth. They've got very much, I think, sort of semi subpar bench. And the glaring one for me is a guy who's a former All-Star and Jeff Teague.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know if people sort of remember or forget. That A, he's actually on this team, and B, that it's only he's a former All-Star, and a quality point guard. It's just a little bit funny how sort of things are going around there at the moment. Like
they've had a bad run. I mean, really, I could go back from say the Kyrie debacle when he got traded out, or even go back as far as Isaiah. Then you got Kyrie, then you had the unfortunate Gordon Hayward injury, and now you got the Kemba injury. You know that at the moment, you probably take – it's terrible to say – you probably take Rozier over Kemba Walker just because, like you just said at the start, how Charlotte's playing.
He's healthy.
Is not good. Not that contract.
At least he's healthy. I think he's having a whole lot of fun playing with LaMelo Ball at the moment.
I think everybody's having
a whole lot of fun.
I think Gordon Hayward – and this is why I wanted to tie him perfectly. This is why I wanted to tie him perfectly because that's why I think he's in top 10. They're just with Boston to finish up with them. From Gordon Hayward, and they have to use that this year. This is what I sort of think. They've got from him that $27 million trade exception, $27.9 million to be exact. So, God, you could eat up, you know, a Vucevic, I don't know what they need. This is the thing. I think it's a forward or a lockdown sort of defender. Or maybe an offensive player. I don't know, but they, you know, you've got $28 million just sitting there. Literally sitting there. I think it needs to be used.
It needs to be used. I guess they sort of have to wait till Marcus Smart comes back in a couple of weeks. I think that could be used a little bit more smarter in getting some more quality guys for the bench, I think.
There was huge.
I think that's a glaring problem for them that they don't really have a whole lot of sort of guys that can keep the ship afloat. So to speak, when those stars are off the court at the moment, like they're not really using, the rookie that they scored in Aaron Naismith a whole lot.
Nah, he's getting the minutes. I don't think he's producing that well. He got 29.
He's only a rookie. I understand that, but he was touted as one of the best pure shooters coming into this draft, out of Vanderbilt. So. I guess he's sort of struggling for minutes a little bit. I think that's somebody along the lines I think they could use a little bit more.
The one that I've got told, or just reading, I guess, and listening, if they hold on to that $28 million trade exception, then they go in for Jason Tatum's best friend since a teenager, which is one Bradley Beal. They caught up on the weekend at the Garden. They've always talked about playing together. I don't know if they're going to have a package well enough, but you know, that $28 million trade exception would be a nice little thing.
Well, to me, if they're going to do that, Kemba Walker's going to be in that deal.
It's either him or Marcus Smart, and I don't know if I'd get rid of Marcus Smart.
It'd be absolutely Kemba Walker.
They both caught up. They'd love to play together, and that would be just
sure they would.
Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Bradley Beal. That would help your offense. And then you have like maybe pick up pick up something on the cheap. But yeah, I don't know. I think I'm not worried. They're 500 record. I'm not worried about them. So
it's going to be I guess the same old sort of cliche with the NBA in 99.9% of every year is get healthy, get into the playoffs, and be playing good ball at the right time of the year.
One team I don't know if I'm worried about, but I cannot work out the makeup of them, and that would be your team, the New Orleans Pelicans. The only reason I'm going there because I don't know if they have, I don't know what they are, what they're becoming, or what their identity is.
What their identity is. It's extremely poor defensively and can't run anybody off the three-point line.
But it looked like getting Steven Adams, you signed Brandon Ingram, you've got Zion, you gave away Drew Holiday, and you picked up, I've lost his name now.
Eric Bledsoe.
To me, those moves, it felt like they wanted to be a contending team.
Eric Bledsoe is 100% checked out. I don't care what anybody says. He is checked out of the scene.
No, I think so too.
He has got no motivation, no motor, no go, no juice, no energy, no anything at the moment. He is unbelievable. He'll be so good in the first half of games and then just fade away to a nothing at the end of the game. Lonzo Ball. We said at the start of the year, they've got too many point guards there.
They do.
Point guards. If you're going to try and remedy these sorts of things, and I said it at the start of the year, why in the blue hell are they not starting JJ Redick? I don't care if he's looking for a trade or people are trying to get him. I don't care. You need floor spacing. You get floor spacing, and then guys like Steven Adams, Brandon Ingram, and Zion Williamson can go to work and just beat teams down on the low post.
Because
the floor. Brandon Ingram is shooting the lights. He is playing unbelievable, and especially shooting well from three-point range. Yeah. But JJ Redick, he just absolutely has to be in the starting lineup.
I can't work it. There's a couple of things I can't work out. Yeah, that for the first time, because I think you knocked it on the head perfectly. The spacing, when I watch the games, it looks to me Zion is the only one that seems to be creating spacing, because he seems to be the only one that's stepping out on a very, very high post, 20 feet from the bucket, and then letting him, then he's going to work. I don't get that. He's not that kind of player. People fear him.
No, but that's right. But it was the game that they played the other day, and he was 10 for 10 from the field, and by the end of it, he was 14 of 15 from the field, and he had 36 points, and that's a career high for him. But they still lost. That's something that they cannot defend the three. They are just hemorrhaging three pointers. There's been four teams already this year that have put up their franchise record in three-point makes.
Yeah.
In the last three games, they've had teams in the last three games, 61 threes put on them. 61!
Yeah.
And they had a couple of teams put 25 and 27 on them.
Yeah,
he cannot defend the three.
And that's a little bit of Zion, as in, I don't think he rolls he rolls out to those sort of three. And that's not just him. That's also your front court as well. I don't know. What do you, clearly your future. Clearly your future is Brandon Ingram and Zion. Clearly. I mean, that's clearly obvious. What, take out those two, because that is two out of your five players. Who else, really? I'm not saying the players you have now. I kind of think all those players need to go, those three. I think Lonzo's gone. Otherwise, you would have taken that extension.
At this point in time, I'd much rather have Lonzo Ball than Eric Bledsoe.
And yeah, I agree.
At the start of the year, Eric Bledsoe is very sort of streaky. Is one of those guys that's conducive to shrinking in the big moments. A lot of the time. And then obviously you've seen what he's done with previous teams in the playoffs and things like that. He goes missing, but he has checked out of this season that you know, that they're not anywhere sort of in contention. They're four games under 500. They're only three games out of the eight, but they had a nice little stint in probably the last week and a half or so where they won four on the trot. Now they've come out and then they've lost three on the trot. Like they had wins against Milwaukee. Like they've had good wins, but it's all well and good to have Stan Van Gundy there. And yes, he's a defensive minded coach. You can only do so much with certain players.
Yeah.
You know, the saying goes, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Like he can instill all the defensive practices in the world. If they don't want to put it into effect on the court, and if they're just not that so inclined, then it's just an effort in futility. Like it's just not going to happen. So that means then they've got to start tinkering with the lineups, and that's what they're doing at the moment. They basically benched Jackson Hayes for Willie Hernangómez, and he's been playing great.
Willie Hernangómez, he's been playing great.
Playing terrific.
He's
getting double doubles. He's good offensively. He's not being abused that much defensively in the pick and roll. I like the look of Kyra Lewis. You know, he has got jets. He has got speed to burn.
Yeah.
And I think they could use him a little bit more. Nico Melli has just gone absolutely, totally missing this year, and he was a big sort of part of what they were about last year. He just cannot buy a bucket this year. So he's gone out of the rotation. So it's just, it's frustrating as hell to watch what they do and the product they sort of put out there defensively. Offense is not the problem.
It's not as much of a problem, but I think it's the problem, like you said, of the spacing. I personally think they need another forward. Or forward slash center.
Should be averaging 30 points.
And this is where the whole perplexing thing is. I like him because I liked him as a sort of a player, but I don't get the Stephen Adams to there. I never got that at all.
Rebounder, he's not that, you know, a good defender and I guess an intimidating force. Like
he hasn't been great.
He hasn't been great, but I guess there's only so much longer into the season where you can say, okay, you know, there's been no training camp. You know, they're all trying to still work out the team's intricacies and what players like and don't like. There's only so far that we can go into the season and say that with confidence. Or you can just say, look, it's a rebuilding to the future. Don't forget, around about this time last year, the Pels are 5-25.
Yeah.
Like they lost like 13 on the trot throughout the start of the season. So for them at the moment to be 11-15, I think is very encouraging and it's showing improvement. But we've got one of the most impatient fan bases going around because they've seen the Anthony Davis years wasted. Yeah, that they've seen Chris Paul wanting out of there after they sort of had a bit of a successful run in the late 2000, early start of this decade, or of the last decade, we should say, with Tyson Chandler and David West and Chris Paul and Peja Stojakovic. I think the fans there, they're super passionate, and it gets frustrating to watch because they know that they've got the future there again. He's fallen into their lap in Zion, and they don't want to see him run out of town again. Or, you know, they don't want to see a superstar like that run out of town. But people should be buoyed by the fact that Brandon Ingram has signed and wanted to stay there. I think that's huge. He could have gone anywhere.
I think so too. I completely think that. I think it's just, I don't know that, like you said, I think Eric Bledsoe's checked out. They clearly don't want to keep Lonzo, so they should look for something there because he's going to walk next year then if they don't do anything there.
If they're not going to sign his extension, then yeah, that's right. They may as well try and get something back. But the problem is you go straight out and you trade, or you get rid of those two point guards, and that's, I mean, then you're sort of going, you know, really into, you go from having four point guards to two, and you don't have a lot of depth there then. I think Lonzo is going to stick around. I think if they're trying to offload somebody, it's going to be Eric Bledsoe first.
I think it'll be the other way. I think his contract is tied to them, and then
they might have to
let Lonzo walk because otherwise they have to sign into something. So,
well, he's not. That's, I mean, and there's going to be teams out there that'll throw the money at him. So that's the sort of conundrum if they can sort of work out a deal.
Imagine that. Oh, my God. Him and his brother playing together. Holy. Might be good. Might be fun. Might be more fun.
Could be.
Switching on to some players. Daniello Gallinari. Speaking of makeup.
He's been one of the more sort of frustrating players, I think, for me this year. You know, obviously we talked about him. You know, as a decent free agent acquisition for Atlanta, and they have totally underperformed with sort of how they're going about their business at the moment. But you know, Gallinari is you know, and then you have a look at his contract. He's one of the highest paid guys on the roster. They've just got a sort of a mixture of players that I guess we sort of. Same sort of thing, you know, how they were all going to mesh together, and yeah, the guy got guys like Rajon Rondo there as well. Yeah, the big signing of Bogdanovich, but it's I mean, he's you know, Gallinari is sort of wallowing behind John Collins there at the four, but he's just not, like, he's not even getting 20 minutes a game. Yeah, you know, he's averaging like 11 points. I just don't think, you know, obviously this is not what he signed up for.
No, this is a guy.
I've been a bit of a fan of Gallo, yeah, since he was at the Knicks.
Well, that's exactly right. This was a guy that signed that the Knicks picked at number six in the 2008 draft. So, you know, you're right, for someone touted, and I like him. I like his makeup. I mean, I've always liked the European players. European, they're a different wavelength to European. You can sort of see they love and hate playing. I love watching European players play against each other because it's like they get ultra competitive, which is, it's so funny. But you know, you're struggling. You know, under 11, like 10.8 points per game. He is coming off the bench, and he's producing lately. It's just, I don't know.
It's just been super frustrating. I think Atlanta,
yeah,
to me,
I think so.
Have been super frustrating this year.
I like
because
that team because we touted that team.
That's right. We absolutely thought that they were top eight material. Mm-hmm. And who's to say that they're not, that they can't sort of get it together a little bit later in the season, and they're in the same boat. You know, they're like four games under 500, but they are super close to being in the eight. So, you know, they're five games under 500, but they're only a game behind Toronto for the eight spot. So. Yeah. They're not out of it by any stretch of the imagination, but they just need to start pulling things together and getting those guys on that team, you know, involved and getting some chemistry worked out together. Like they've got it's still a super young team. You know, Trae Young, Kevin Huerter,
Cam Reddish.
That's who I was thinking of. Cam Reddish. You know, John
DeAndre
Collins.
Hunter.
Like even Clint Capella, you think Clint Capella's been around for? He's only 26. It's crazy. Like even Bogdanovich is under 30.
He's 26.
Like, everybody there is super young.
But this is where
DeAndre Hunter. I think you said there before. It's just they've got a super young team. So I think that can. Are they in the same sort of situation as New Orleans? It's just team chemistry. They got some young guys on the team, and it's just taking a little while for them to work it out.
you're probably right on the fact of – then this is probably where the J.J. Redick sort of come in. Like, you clearly get – and I'm looking at J.J. Redick as the other, I guess, senior person that's on this team, Rajon Rondo. You get these seasoned veterans for a reason. And the reason that I think is team chemistry. Obviously, they can produce. Clearly, they can produce. But they also would have that team chemistry, you know, getting the young guys together, you know, putting them where they need to and all that. It's the same thing. I don't think he's getting clearly used more as J.J. Redick. I don't think Rajon gets used enough in this team.
No, absolutely.
Granted, you've got Trae Young as a starting point guard. Granted. But he could be, you know, he produced a lot for the Lakers when, you know, with their run, especially in the playoffs. But yeah, you're right. It's a super team. It's going to be a great team going forward. I don't know. And like Gallinari should be playing better. I don't know what they do with John Collins. He's on his last year of his, like, he could sign a sort of an extension at the moment. So that'll be an interesting one, because I don't mind John Collins. I think John Collins is.
No, that's right.
He's a fairly decent sort of player. So, which then obviously.
Look, it's no slight on him, you know, with Gallo being behind, you know, somebody like that. But they could absolutely be using him a lot more.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I really do. I really think they.
Clint Capella's not playing 48 minutes a game. So, you know, you can switch John Collins to the center. You can make lineups up. Where you can have Gallo and John Collins on the court at the same time.
Oh shit, they got Tony.
Yeah, but
Snell
also, that's what I mean, and that's the other thing too. They've also got the rookie Okongwu there as well.
And Tony Snell, I forgot he was there. I forgot about Tony Snell. Whatever happened to him? He was a top 20 pick too. My God, maybe he shouldn't have been top 20 pick.
Well, we could all go through certain drafts and read them there's absolutely no way that they went where they should have. But anyway,
you know, it would be really fun one pod to do before we start finishing on talking about other teams is picking a draft, any draft. We'll just do certain years and then redrafting it. So as in, like, there's say 30 players or whatever, and then we're both going one for the other, redrafting it. Like, you take the number one and then or whatever. And then we redraft into what we think it should be. That would be fun.
do something on the lines of the, you know, one of the most stacked top end drafts that they've had in the last 20 odd years in 2003.
Like,
that'd be an obvious one to do.
Yeah.
Or you could even go back further than that and do something along the lines of the 96 draft, which was stacked.
Yeah.
The 96 draft was stacked.
Oh, there's certain drafts you get, like that Giannis draft at 20. It was a 2013 when Anthony Bennett went number
13 was Giannis. That's right, yeah.
Anthony Bennett went number one.
Oh, for God's sakes! Like, how many times did Cleveland want to get the number one pick and bomb it? Like, that is one of the all-time botched.
Top picks.
Not so much number one, but top picks of all time.
Yeah, you couldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't say you would pick Giannis at number one, but there was a few. There's a few good names in that mix. That's a bomb, clearly. Bennett's
an
bomb.
Absolute bomb.
My God, Anthony Bennett.
Unbelievable. Have a look at what Philly's done over the previous years. And we wanted to talk about Philadelphia, but yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, how many did they hit on? Yeah, Joel Embiid was the third pick.
Yeah.
But nobody wanted to touch him because he had those injuries coming out of Kansas.
Yeah.
You know, they got duped into drafting Markelle Fultz. And then they've hit on Ben Simmons.
Yeah, they hit on Ben Simmons. Yeah, I don't know. Markelle Fultz is looked like I wouldn't say he's justifying a number one, but he's coming back to that sort of.
Well,
you know,
he was actually starting to play good ball in Orlando before he got hurt.
So. I think their makeup right now, and there's probably Doc Rivers related. I like Philly. I think going on last year and the year before, I think Philly can, the way Joel's playing, I think they can make a run like for the Eastern Conference Finals. They've done
what everybody's been screaming at them for the last couple of years since they've had, you know, Embiid and Simmons there, and they've got spacing. And yeah. Seth Curry is just absolutely shooting the lights. Surely he can't keep this up, but he could be the first guy in league history to have a 50-50-90 season. Not a 50-40. everybody gets all jolly over the 50-40-90, you know, club. At the moment, he is on pace for a 50-50-90. And for those people out there that don't really sort of know what that means, 50% from the field, 50% from three, and 90% from the free throw line. I think he's shooting 100% from the free throw line.
Yeah, he's shooting 100% from the free throw line.
Yeah, I think he's shooting better percentage from 3-point range than what he is from the field. I think he's shooting 50.3 from the field and 50.6 or 50.7 from 3-point. It's unbelievable what they're doing. Tobias Harris is shooting well. Like, you know, we sort of screamed at him and his contract.
Yeah.
At last year, this year, but it's these guys, they've made smart signings this year and they're getting a little bit more. Like, I still think depth again is one of their problems, but once they come into the playoffs, they'll only be playing a 7 or 8 man rotation anyway. So, and it'll be the same deal. If Joel Embiid can stay locked in and do what he's doing, and he's one of those guys too that absolutely plays on the crowd. So I think he's going to be one of those guys that will be, I think, a little affected by not having a crowd there because, yeah, he absolutely loves getting the crowd riled up, whether he's in Philadelphia or whether he's somewhere else.
And Ben, I mean, Ben scored it was a loss. I've had a three loss sort of record recently, but even Ben Simmons, he scored 42 in that last loss.
He had a career high today. Most points scored in a single game ever by an Australian in the NBA, which is awesome.
He's shooting at the moment this year 56% from the field. So as he should be, yeah. He's leading. He'll be one of those locks for All Star. I mean, this is a guy who's got 8 assists per game, 1.7 steals per game. So he has to be a lock. I think his biggest problem is that he has these 42 point games in him, but can he do it? I wouldn't say week in week out, but can he consistently do it?
No, well, and that's the thing too. Like, you know, yeah, Ben Simmons, he's not even in the top 10 for guards.
Oh, he'll
in All Star fame. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the scary.
No, he's not. But he'll get picked by coaches and that. And the what's the other one? Who gets the other big vote? 25%. It's media. Yeah, the media will get it. They'll pick him. They'll have to. But and it's just because the way that they're playing this year. I like the makeup of their team. They had that makeup last year. Maybe it is just a Doc thing. You know, Doc sort of instilling certain things. I reckon, you know, he's probably sat down, Joel, and just, you know, said, you know, everyone knows what you are. Just goddamn do it, kind of, you
just
know,
go,
something.
Just go and do it. That's right. Yeah. Just go in there and do it. He's an MVP candidate.
It's
that's the thing. It's to me, it's just whether or not he can stay locked in and whether or not he can handle, you know, the silence of the arena. You know, when he's on song, because, you know, especially if they're playing in Philadelphia, then obviously they love him there. You know, he's the guy you love to hate. You know, you want him on your team, but you hate playing against him. So it's one of those sorts of things. And he'd be one of those juice guys. He's one of those guys that absolutely plays off on the crowd and loves getting them involved and loves putting his hands in the air when he's on song. And making big plays. So, you know, you would hope that by the time the playoffs sort of come around in a few months, that they'll be able to let more and more people into the arenas. That may be a bit of a pipe dream at the moment, but you would hope that in some of these places where they've got no fans in there, that they'll be able to let some fans in there to get that real noise, you know, in the arena, although it'd probably be very echoey in a large arena with only a couple of thousand people in there, but at least it's something.
On the flip side, the other team that's going great guns at the moment we wanted to talk about was the Utah Jazz.
Oh, wow, really? Utah's playing good, are they? only won 19 of their last 20. Like, it's unbelievable what they're doing at the moment.
Did Did Shaq, you know, when that whole, you know, what he said, to, you know, you mentioned this only a few weeks ago, Donovan Mitchell, and just, you know, said, you know,
Shaq's now taking credit for motivating him.
I would, because, you know,
what a move.
Hey?
What a move by Shaq. You can't be wrong.
He can't be wrong. You know, I would. They were going okay, and then he goes, oh, everyone knows you better. I just think you can be at that next step MVP. And then his reply was, okay. And then clearly helped.
That was basically just all right, kiss my ass.
Yeah,
and
basically. Well, I can see what he
will show you, big boy.
Oh, he wanted to say something so bad. I loved it.
Well, that's the thing. It was just one of those things where it was just a little bit stunned, and the only thing that he can sort of really say that's, you know, that wasn't going to be an absolute blasting was just, all right.
Well, that's true.
That's all he can do. You're on live TV. What are you meant to do?
We said this for the last year when Mike Conley wasn't going that well, but they out of all the teams, they have the best depth in all the teams in the NBA. They really do.
They've got the leading candidate for sixth man of the year in Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah.
He just put up 40 today off the bench.
He's shooting off the bench 18 points per game and 4 rebounds per game. He's only playing 26 minutes, which is phenomenal.
That's right, exactly.
Donovan Mitchell.
That's very fringe starter minutes, 26 minutes.
Yeah. Donovan Mitchell, Jordan Clarkson, Mike Conley, who's playing better than he was last year, but, you know, he's only playing 29 minutes, and I'm assuming Jordan's taking some of those minutes off him. Bojan's there, still there, Bojan Bogdanovic, Rudy Gobert, Joe Ingles, Royce O'Neal, Derek Favors. They really have a great depth. They really do. But and if you look at their depth, like...
It's proven depth. That's the thing. It's proven depth.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're the kind of team that's basically nobody on their squad that's done this before. Like, you know, made a really super deep playoff run. And that's not to say that's not going to be a problem, but it'll all come out in the wash once the playoffs do roll around, like I said, in a couple of months.
Can they
handle the flamethrower that is a pressure situation 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter of an elimination game 6? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing.
Well, if you look at it, like, you know, it's just for argument's sake, say they play the Lakers in the final. You know, Gobert can take on AD, but who the hell in that team really, honestly defends LeBron?
No, that's right, exactly. Like, yeah, so, LeBron just have his way. Like, even so, like, AD has put on plenty of beef over the last few years. Like, he realistically should be able to bully around Rudy Gobert, in all honesty.
Yeah, he should be undefendable, really. Technically. That's a fair point. I'm finishing on the Jazz. I think they're going to make the top 8. They're having the phenomenal run. It would be interesting to see what they're like in the final. Yeah, that's a very good point. See what they make.
That's all I think of. It's just the guys that are there, like, they've had a few first round exits as of late. You know, they've been, I guess, sort of subpar once the playoffs come around, but if they can continue this run and to be a top 2 seed in the West, you know, how far will they, you know, how far ahead of the Lakers can they sort of push with Anthony Davis out? Can LeBron sort of, you know, keep the Lakers afloat for enough? And I think there's plenty of teams out there that superstars are keeping their teams afloat. And for me, none more than the Portland Trailblazers, like Damian Lillard and Carmelo Anthony, are keeping that team afloat. They're sitting fifth. Like, how the hell are they doing that?
Yeah, that was the final thing I wanted to talk about, was actually the Portland Trailblazers.
That's unbelievable. Those two guys, okay, Melo might be past it and everything, but he is a major contributor.
Yeah.
Especially now that CJ McCollum has gone down, who was having a career year, and Nurkic has gone down.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah,
everybody knows what's coming. Everybody knows it's Dame time. Everybody knows it's coming, but he still can't be stopped.
This is a guy, and not Dame, sorry, but Carmelo. This is a guy that was literally out there to pick up, and was nearly there for half a year to pick up on
the
scrap heap.
He was on the scrap heap.
Literally,
absolutely on the scrap heap.
He was on the scrap. It took him like 6 months for a team to sort of take a chance on him. You know, this is this. This is a hall. He is going to be a Hall of Famer. I don't think there's any question.
Oh, absolutely. He's a first. But yeah, there's not even a question that he's had a Hall of Fame career.
He's not doing LeBron numbers, and that's fine. He wasn't. No one expected him to.
Nobody's going to. But, like, that's so unfair. That's so unfair.
No, I agree.
Did Dwayne Wade put those numbers up? Bosh put those numbers up?
No.
That's totally unfair to sort of compare. He's doing what he has always. That he's always been a phenomenal scorer, and that's the facet of his game. Like he's getting a little bit. He's lost a step or two, and he's getting. He might be getting a little bit longer in the tooth. Nobody is going to be anything like what LeBron is. He's just a physical specimen.
Yeah, LeBron's a whole different beast, but. The one thought that I liked in that team that's stepping up, you know, in the absence of CJ is Gary Trent Jr.
And Anthony Simons as well. They are both filling the void there.
Yeah. Gary's he's scoring 15 points a game at the moment. So he's averaging, 15 points a game. You know, just because CJ's sort of out, so he's getting sort of more of that game time. He's moved his minutes up to that sort of 29-minute echelon now.
That's right.
But that's
what you want because, you know, if it does come down to crunch time, then you've got more threats on the floor.
Mm.
You know, and he can be used in certain situations, you know, in the final 2 minutes, in the final minute, whereas before, you know, he might not have that experience. You know, he's getting a lot of minutes now. And that's only going to help come towards the end of the year. If you can have... You know, in the playoffs, if you can have an 8 or 9 man rotation, then that's great. That means you can be trusted.
Well, they do. So you got Dame, considering everyone's going to be healthy, Dame, CJ, Gary Trent Jr., Carmelo Anthony, Enes Kanter's playing well this year as well.
Enes Kanter's always been an underrated player. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, that's true.
Great rebounder, great offensive
rebounder.
Very
good rebounder.
Good hands and great around the rim.
Yusuf Nurkic, Anthony Simons, Robert Covington's playing okay at the moment. He's getting a lot of minutes. He's not doing well with them. Derek James Jr., that was a perplexing one. But I'm talking about the death. And Rodney Hood, you know, that's 10
That's right, yeah,
10
exactly.
Players.
That's a 10, that's right. I think that's part of the reason why they're actually doing so well as well, is they've got those guys that were just sort of sitting on the bench waiting for their opportunity. Yeah, not so much outcasts, but... You know, guys that have been picked up by Portland and wham. Now the situation has come to that they've got a couple of injuries. Now they're being thrust into, you know, big minutes.
Yeah.
And they're a real tough out, Portland.
Oh, if they can push themselves, at least when the guys come back, if they can push themselves in the top four, they're just like they were last year. They're a team.
That's right.
They're a team
and they get
to worry about.
They're keeping themselves afloat, and that's the beauty of it. Yeah, you know, well, that's right. What happens when CJ comes back?
Oh, and Yusuf Nurkic is still putting up great numbers before he, like, he's a double double guy every day.
No, that's right. He's a double. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I always find them as a scary team. I really do. I'm worried about it against the Lakers.
Last year was sort of the year that they, I guess, sort of lived up to a little bit of the bill, even though they sort of, you know, just scraped into the playoffs. And once again, Portland, you're welcome. You know, they sort of scraped into the playoffs. And that was the thing, like, you know, and it was just unfortunate they ran into, you know, into the Lakers in the first round, and that's what they're doing now. It's brilliant. Like, you know, could you imagine if you started the playoffs now and it's Phoenix versus Portland?
That would be phenomenal.
That would be an unbelievable series.
Oh, my God, that would be a great series. Holy hell, just picturing it now, that would be a phenomenal series. Like you said, if they're hovering around and they stay in that eight, you have Yusuf and CJ come back. CJ, by the way, I listened to him on another podcast. He's a phenomenal speaker. He's talking about doing his own podcast.
Actually.
He's heard
him on a lot of radio shows.
My God.
Yeah.
He's a phenomenal speaker.
He's very, very eloquent.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that is the word that I was looking for. He speaks... I'm not stereotyping NBA players, but you listen to the way they speak and all that, and it's all sort of the same. I'll say that. He does not sound like any NBA player I've Like, you know, it's like he's an Ivy League kind of guy.
Every third phrase is either you know or you know what I'm saying. Like, that's I think that's the vocabulary of about 60% of NBA players. It is what it is. Not everybody's a great speaker.
Nah, like, I know, but
yeah, that's what I mean. That's not everybody's got a sort of shiny happy personality out there. So it's some guys like to keep private, and that's how they go about their business. So, but that's I've heard CJ on a few podcasts and on live radio and stuff like that, and he is well, a very well spoken young man.
Yeah, very, very well spoken. He's got
a future in the media.
Huge future in the media. I guarantee he has a huge future in the media. That will sort of, I guess, cover most of the NBA talk for this week. I just brought up right at the end Anthony Bennett, just to tell you where he is right now. He got 2019. For 2017 to 2019 he played in the G League.
Was he the affiliate for Toronto?
He was the affiliate for Toronto because he's a Canadian born person.
Yeah, that's right.
He actually got his second chance. He signed with the Rockets in 2019, but they waived him before he could even play because he had a knee injury. So now he's back in. Just literally playing for the Canadian national team. This is a guy that, 2013. So let's forget the last 2 years, this year and last year, because it's not saying I'm not counting, but that's 6 years. 6 years from one.
I mean, he come out of nowhere. He was one of the better players on that UNLV team, in the previous season before he got drafted. And then it was just a bombshell on draft day. He got drafted number one. It's just like, whoa, where did that come from?
Oh, my God. I don't know. And everyone said the same thing. He was, like, ecstatic, especially. I'd love to redraft. That's actually a very, very big draft. That's a CJ McCollum, Victor Oladipo, Otto Porter's in that draft. God damn, that's a good draft. Very, very good draft. Adams draft. Giannis.
Yeah, that's right. Giannis. Even the lottery in that draft is pretty good.
Gobert's in that. Oh my God.
Otto Porter Jr. was a lottery pick, was he not, for Washington?
No, third. He went number three for Washington.
Yeah, that's unbelievable, isn't it? Where the hell was he number three? That's very much an oversight there by Washington. But
there's a couple of oversights.
It's all about playing Captain Hindsight.
Of course, that top 10 is a bit of a how you going when you've got, Ben McLemore, who did nothing at number 7. He was touted highly and that didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah, that's right.
He's
at Houston at the moment.
Yeah. That draft, Dennis Schroeder. Oh my God, that is one crazy draft. One absolutely all over the shop draft. Just with names everywhere. Holy Jesus. Like I said, how far it goes down that certain players could have got picked up instead of the number one pick.
Oh, that's right, exactly.
Oh, Cleveland, what were you thinking?
Well, that's what I said. Yeah, geez, yeah, they had some bombs. They had some bombs to get as many first round, high first round picks as they did. After LeBron left them high and dry, and they didn't do a whole lot with them.
No.
Obviously they hit on Kyrie Irving, but even saying that, Kyrie was injured playing in college that year. So even when they picked him, he wasn't a surefire. Everybody knew the talent, but he didn't really have a stellar college career. He was hurt throughout that. So it's interesting to sort of go through those top few years, especially teams that have had, top three picks over a very short period of time and how well they've actually hit on them.
Well, that'll do it this week for the NBA podcast. Don't forget to follow us on our socials at Final Play Pod for Twitter, and Facebook's always pretty straightforward, Final Play Podcast, where you'll see all our links for our podcast, including Spotify, As always, every single 125, I think this will be 126 now, podcasts are up on gimko.com.au. That's G-I-M-K-O, because I've got that down pat, and I've actually been sneakily on there just waiting, looking at some breaks, just so you know. Uh-oh.
You know, you know you want to.
Oh, there's a couple of NBA ones that I'm just about to click on. So, they're you know, just a couple of little ones just to get
just
a taste.
Just get into the taste. Nice, cheap-ass Sundays, you know, just to get a
yeah,
little taste.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at, the cheap-ass Sundays.
They're the ones that you got to do, just to get a little taste, and then, you know, it's going to be one of those things where you'll absolutely hit, you know, a really good card, and that's just like hooking a marlin on a line. Like you'll be sold.
And they're cheapy too for the amount of value that you looks like you'll get in that for $19.
No, absolutely. Yeah, they're always good.
That's phenomenal. Yeah, hence why I've been looking at the Sundays. Just to sort
there's
of
now, I think it's full now, but there's an NFL one up there, just like a pick your team break for a box of Prism as well. So I think that's full now. But yeah, so he said sort of the NFL ones will be very few and far between of late. So but yeah, the NBA breaks there at Eureka Sports Cards / Gimco. They're always sort of going gangbusters. Like there's always, you know, NBA Friday, and they've sort of started to have a little bit of a resurgence of cheap ass Sunday back in effect. So, you know, if you want to get into, you know, with the NBA being in full swing, you know, get in on those, because they sell out very fast. So that's on generally those are put up on Eureka Sports Cards on their Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And you just get in with them on that. So, but yeah, generally NBA Friday, and obviously cheap ass Sunday on a Sunday, that they generally sell out fairly quick. So you've got to be sitting there waiting usually at 6 p.m. Daylight time or 5 p.m. real time here in Queensland. So yeah, you've got to be sitting there waiting, ready to go. To get into one of those breaks, but they're always super fun to be in. So yeah, always a massive shout out to Gimco, Dom, and Mojo King for letting us give them some shameless plugs.
Tight Ass Tuesday is the other good one as well. Just looking at it, like that's what I mean. You get these are all 2019, 2020 cards, but Core Kings Blasters, Chronicle Blasters, Chronicle Fat and Mosaic Cellos for $19. So
that's pretty good. Considering the prices for 19, 20 products is out of this world.
I can fully guarantee when I was in the NFL Super Bowl one, it sells out phenomenally quick. You think there's two spots left and then they're gone. Anyway, I'll live and learn.
Well, that was high risk, high reward too. The Super Bowl one. Yeah. I think that was 150 a spot. So, yeah, that had some nice big products in the end of it. But, yeah, like I said, yeah, they always try and give you the best value,
$19. You know, if you want to start out, for even the one that there's a decent one that just it's up the top that sold out really quickly, a $58 one. There's some seriously good value in it. And I don't know all what I'm looking at. I'm just looking at what's actually out there that you can possibly get. That's what I'm saying in the value.
But that's and they're all risk-reward, you know, breaks. So you'll be in unless you're just going to be a machine gun and, you know, just blanket every single one so you get something good, or, you know, you just pick and choose, and sometimes you go well and other times you don't, and that's just the luck of the draw. It's like the lotto.
That's exactly right. It is. It's like stocks. It's like the lotto. And if you can hit trust me.
If you want to have, if you want to have a coffee table like I have right here, that's just got piles and piles and piles of cards on it, then, you know, be my guest. And you know, a standing drawer full of boxes and more cards from the 90s. So, you know, bring on the collecting.
I think I like this. The reason I think I like this, if you look at lotto, just to finish it off, if you like lotto, you look at this and you look at stocks. At least this, and they're really the same thing. They're really chance at the end of the day.
No, absolutely.
But the difference with this is this one, it might be a team you follow, but the main thing is you hold it. You hold something.
No, that's right.
The other one, you never hold. I don't know. I just feel like holding something.
If you win 20 million in the lotto, like I guess you could sort of go down the bank and just – just say, I want to pull everything out of there and have
print the receipt out.
And just say, yeah, just have like $100 bills in your house.
Yeah, just print the receipt out. That'll do.
Yeah, that's right. And have a nice ATM receipt that says $20 million withdrawal.
Well, that'll do it this week. My name's Jason. You know what I'm saying, Smith? I can't believe you know what I'm saying. That is the best. I'm going to use that a lot. They do.
When you hear it, especially from a lot of players, you can't unhear it. I guess I'll have to be Miles, you know, Plum.
You know,
oh, it is once you hear it, and hopefully everybody out there is, you know, it's like when somebody puts a song in your head and then for the next like 4 hours you're singing it in your head. It's when you hear it, especially in an interview when they say it a lot, you sit there and you begin to count in your head how many times they actually say it, and you just, oh my god. I'm sure we do it as well.
It's when you do the ums and all that. It's the same sort of thing.
That's another one. Yeah, they're littered everywhere. Yeah. But that's the thing. We would do the same thing.
I'm very certain I don't say, you know what I'm saying, 500 times. I don't think I've said it once until right at the end here. But I'll take the um. I've definitely done the ums. But you know what I'm saying?
The ums are up there.
Have a good week, everyone.
See ya.
That-